with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver, away!
Hey kids, what time is it?
There's a taste of what we're going to have for you this morning. Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier are here. We'll be talking about shows from the 50s and 60s on television. Some of them still play in syndication pretty well. You know, the early 60s shows like Dick Van Dyke, Andy Griffith, they're still on prime time on TV Land and all the, you know, the retro channels on cable. So they're still there. So what do you have for us today, guys? You're very good at this stuff. You do a lot of digging.
We sure do. First of all, it's good to be back, Don. Carol and I like to share our memories of growing up in Racine. Today we'll be talking about early TV. Did you know that TV sets actually started to appear in the late 40s and in early 50s? Again, we'll be talking about the early TV sets and some of our favorite kids' shows growing up in the 50s and early 60s. Now, the early TVs, of course, were in black and white. They were not color. Some of the stations we listened to from Milwaukee were WTMJ Channel 4, WISN Channel 12, WITI Channel 6, and of course, I think our favorite one was WGN out of Chicago. It had so many kids' programs.
You traitor, watching Chicago TV. How dare you?
I know. Channel 5 was out of Chicago, Channel 7 and Channel 2. Most of these TV channels had radio stations first, and they sort of migrated into television.
So, Jim, even though we had all these channels, we could not see a picture at all times.
Right.
Yes, the TV, we heard the national anthem around midnight.
Yep.
And then we saw the test pattern.
Remember what that looked like?
Wait a second. Before the test pattern, there was snow on the TV.
Oh, yes. Oh, we're going to address
snow. We'll be
talking
about that.
Yes. We frequently had snow on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So, yes, we recall that test pattern. And then, again, we had those channels. But, you know, it wasn't always easy to deal with those channels. We did not know that eventually we would be able to hold a remote in our hands. So we had to get up from the floor, from our chairs, to change that channel, to change that dial. How did your family work that out?
That was a lot of work. You know, being an oldest of a year older than my sister, I always said, hey, get up there and turn that TV, you know. I'm the boss here.
There's another first world problem. Who's going to get up and change the channel?
That's right. It's your turn.
And we had another problem. Like you say, a first world problem, Don, compared to third world. We had to wait because there was a warm-up period with the TV.
Oh, yeah, the tubes had a warm-up.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
It was not instantaneous.
Yep. And that took forever if you wanted to watch your favorite show.
Right.
Now, some of the brands that we probably remember was, Philco, Zenith, RCA Victor. Who remembers a Stromberg Carlson? We had an Admiral TV.
Yeah, Admiral, yeah, they were big. Yeah.
That's right. And, of course, there was a Muntz TV, M-U-N-T-Z, Magnavox, Crosley, GE, and a few others.
I never had heard of the Muntz. But that was right up there, huh?
Yeah, I think it was out of Chicago. It would advertise on TV. One of these guys would always, highlight how great a Muntz was.
Really?
Yeah. Remember that.
Oh. Well, we were so thrilled to have a TV. We had a Zenith eventually. But the size of the screens. Now, we think it was possibly as small as a piece of paper. But with my heavy-duty research on this subject, about in those early 50s, the largest screen was apparently about 16 inches. However, these 16-inch screens or less came in gigantic furniture arrangements.
They were beautiful, yeah.
Yes, this was a piece of fine furniture for your home.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
and expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somewhere we found out, Jim, maybe they were equivalent to about $2,000 today.
Mm-hmm.
We think so. It was a big purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some problems, of course, once got one.
As Don mentioned, there was always snow to deal with. You had to adjust the rabbit ears. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
My dad would always try to adjust them to make sure that the snow would disappear. Sometimes, of course, the picture tube would go out, and that was a terrible thing because that cost a whole lot of money if your picture tube went out. We'll get into that a little bit later. But
by the way, we had a built-in television into the wall in the in the basement.
Okay,
and it was built in, and all the guts of it were in the boiler room where the foil burner was.
Okay,
and every time a tube went out, we had to call the guy from Star TV to come down and get a giant box of tubes.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And he would do the tube test to see which one was broken, pop it in.
Yeah. Yep.
And when finally the TV went on, it was like, oh.
Thank gosh. We're back.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
I can live again.
The miracle man.
Yeah. Remember the antennas with the motors to turn?
Mm-hmm.
You always had to aim it towards Chicago or Milwaukee, depending on what station you wanted to watch. Most TV antennas were, of course, on the roof. Every house had a TV antenna on a roof, if you remember. Some had towers, of course. But and where did we buy TVs, Carol?
Well, the main thing about buying a TV, I would say, in thinking about this, was the guidance that you received when you went to buy the TV, because this was a very huge purchase and a new invention for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what comes to mind is Lathrop Hardware, Novak on Charles Street, Keystone, Fish Furniture on Main, Allen's Merchandising over by the Horlick plant, Christensen Brothers on Main Street, Gayhart and Walker on Taylor Avenue. And this purchase was so important. I thought my family was never going to get one. So that heightened the excitement when we did. And so the one book I have written about growing up in Racine, buying our TV, warranted an entire chapter.
And you would have been better off without it in the long run. you wouldn't have missed anything.
Yeah. Well, TVs often needed repairs, of course, like everything else. And where did we get our repairs? Well, some of the repair shops were Keystone,
which is still there, by the way, on Douglas Avenue.
I've seen the sign.
It's right next to McDonald's on Douglas Avenue.
Yeah, I've seen the sign.
Wow. Gillette's on State Street, a place called Television Engineers on Douglas Avenue. But those TV trucks were everywhere, just like the milk trucks or the coal trucks. And these guys would come in their green uniforms, green shirt, green pants. They'd bring this huge, chest or whatever. And they'd open it up, and there'd be tubes everywhere, just like Don said. And I remember my dad would always say, I hope it's not the picture tube, because then you have to take out a loan just to get another one.
Mm-hmm.
But often at times, like Don said, he would just replace a bad tube, and you're on your way. You could watch your favorite TV show again.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Carol Jean Forte and Jim Messier reminiscing about TV in the 50s and 60s. Just stay with radio. Don't even bother with television. Not that you can learn anything new from TV anyway. Speaking about timeless, Carol, not that you guys are old or anything. Carol Jean Forte and Jim Messier here talking about timeless Racine and all the things we went on. And we're talking about television sets now. These are TV sets, TV shows from the 50s and 60s. And we take it for granted now. You go into a house, there's a big screen TV there, but it wasn't always like that. Some of the early TV sets had little tiny pictures on it, the size of a tube, because that's what they were.
Yep.
They were just tubes.
Right.
They were one big tube.
Yep.
And people used to gather around that little tiny tube in black and white and watch some really bad television.
Well, back then, we repaired. We didn't really throw out our TVs, unlike today, of course. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how we watched them, Jim. We, as kids, we had no trouble getting on the floor or getting up from the floor. So we loved the floor. We loved the floor. And we weren't sitting on our floors with deep pile carpeting.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wood floor or a very thin carpet.
Yep.
But we we pretty much had our spot on the floor. That also gave us an advantage because we could creep close to the TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when our mothers said, "You're going to wreck your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to wreck your eyes by staying too close.
You're going blind.
You're going to wreck your eyes
by watching." Oh, my grandmother said, "You're sitting way too close to TV. You're going to go blind."
Yes, yeah. Right. Yep. Yes.
And she was kind of right. My glasses are kind of thick.
So. Oh, Dad. And some people preferred to watch in the evening in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's grandparents watched always in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that occurred about how we watched, lo and behold, now the dining room or the kitchen table was sometimes forgotten because now we had TV dinners and TV trays. And if the shows were good enough, sometimes we had to enter that new era and watch together the one TV that we owned all together in the living room with our TV trays.
Yep, that's right. As Carol said, we only had one TV, so that meant we had to watch pretty much what our parents watched, whether you liked it or not. And I think the biggest culprit, I think, was Lawrence Welk. Who had to watch Lawrence Welk, your parents did?
My mother and father never watched Lawrence Welk in their lives. When my mom moved to Racine in the last few years of her life, she found Lawrence Welk on PBS. And every Saturday night, she watched the reruns of Lawrence Welk. But she never watched them when they were in prime time.
That's right.
That's
right.
But the reruns she used to watch all the time. Now, Lawrence Welk actually performed with his orchestra in Lake Geneva.
Oh, yeah.
Lake Delavan.
Yeah.
They have a big picture of him conducting an orchestra on the stage at Lake Delavan. Uh-huh. He was here in town.
He had the Champagne Lady.
Oh, yeah.
The Lennon Sisters.
Yep.
Florin, the accordion player.
Myron Florin's got his accordion here. We've got the Lennon Sisters coming up next. A one and a two.
I mean, who wouldn't want to watch him?
I know it. I hate to admit it, but we still watch him on PBS.
Yeah,
on occasion.
Now, that is news.
Yeah.
That is new news.
But some of our favorite kids' TV shows back then, other than cartoons, that could be a whole separate program. I think Howdy Doody might have been the most popular. That was on Saturday morning. I don't know what time it was, but it was on from 1947 to 1960. It just tells you how popular that was. Now, Buffalo Bob would always ask the question, "Say, kids, what time is it?" And the kids, we were known as the Peanut Gallery, would say, "It's Howdy Doody time." And then, of course, the song would
and
play.
And that scary puppet.
Yeah. Well, you're probably referring to Flup-a-Dub, I think.
No, Howdy Doody himself.
Oh, okay. Howdy Doody himself.
The scary puppet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. There was also Princess Summer, Fall, Winter, Spring, if you remember her. That was a very, very, very popular show.
And Clarabelle.
Clarabelle.
He never talked. Yes.
He never talked, except at the very end, the last show.
Yes.
He said, goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, kids. That's right. Oh,
yeah.
The ending of some of these.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Traumatic.
You know, that's kind of teary-eyed.
Yeah, very much so.
The only time he spoke was kids.
Oh. Yes, yeah. That's right. Who remembers Bozo Circus out of Channel 9 out of Chicago? That was on weekdays at noon. And I was told you had to wait years to get on that show.
You're still waiting.
I'm still waiting.
You're
yeah.
on the list.
But he did comedy skits. He showed cartoons. A lot of kids' games, of course.
Keep going.
Yeah. Also, Garfield Goose, Channel 9 at 6 o'clock. Host Fraser Thomas. And, of course, Garfield Goose was known as the King of the United States.
And speaking about going back in time, we're talking to Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier talking about TV in the 50s and 60s.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
My parents went water rafting once after they retired. And I said, "What are you thinking about? What are you crazy, you two? You can't swim. And you've never been in a boat before. What are you doing this for?
You have your life insurance up to date."
Well, it wasn't like really dangerous, but they went in one of these rafts down the Colorado River. And what are you thinking? You crazy? You lost your marbles? And yes, is your life insurance up to date, please?
Yeah. I think you had another story years ago or months back about your mother on a toboggan.
She was on a sled. This is back when I was a little kid, and my father jumped on her as she was going down the hill, and her glasses smashed into her face, and she still had a scar her entire life going across her face.
They look dangerously. Yeah. Very dangerous.
We're talking about 50s, 60s TV with Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier, and let's continue on.
Okay, well, we really had these wonderful TV programs that were gifts to us, I would say. But what amazes me is how we do remember them. And not only TV, it's amazing the memories that as we get older are still so vivid. But let's take Ding Dong School, 1952, with Miss Francis, who had actually been a preschool teacher. I just was looking at the Ding Dong School song and her welcome. Can I say a matronly type person? And she began by talking, "What have you done this weekend, children?" Very, very intimate with them. At one time, there were 3 million viewers of Ding Dong School. And then she would say at the end, "Children, go and get your mothers." Very few who were working. So the mothers dutifully probably came back to the TV to hear what had happened in this preschool. Then another preschool that was to teach us etiquette, romper room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was about be a doobie.
Yep,
so
yep,
I just listened to Romper Room. Did you clean your plate today? Remember that phrase?
I remember she had a viewer thing. She used to, this magic.
Yes. Yes.
And
right.
I used to think she could actually see me.
Yes.
And
yes.
I used to sit on the chair. I got all cleaned up, make sure I had food on my face. Yep. I actually thought she could. We had a neighbor who was on that show. One of my neighbors was one of the little girls on the show.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, Pat Nielsen, still remembers that magic mirror. That's what it was,
the magic mirror. Yeah.
And Pat waited for her picture. You know, she waited and waited. I guess she gave up waiting, you know, maybe a couple years ago. And then we have Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, back to puppets with Fran Allison. Oliver was none other than Oliver J. Dragon. Mm-hmm. Kukla was the leader. And then one of the very most popular and one of the longest running until Mr. Rogers, Captain Kangaroo.
Mm-hmm.
And, my goodness, he had a big cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Remembered like Bunny Rabbit, Mr. Green Jeans, Mr. Moose, Grandfather Clock, the Dancing Bear. He was on for 29 years.
You know, my uncle was the property master. We called him uncle, but he wasn't really a property master for CBS. And I was in the city one time, and I was in there, and he brought me into the Captain Kangaroo studio. I should never have gone in there.
Oh, did it burst your bubble, so to
the
speak?
The cabinet where Mr. Bunny was in, and all the characters, they were sitting on sticks.
Oh, no.
And it was very tiny. And I said, I should never have seen this room.
Reality. I know that Rick Bonanno, another friend, is amazed on how he remembers this, right down to the characters, the pockets, the train day. So, yes, a gift to us all, our foundation that we've all shared.
Well, the weekends were a great time for starting our kids' shows, of course. We didn't have school back then, of course, and we still don't on the weekends. But we would start our kids' shows on Saturday morning by watching Ray Rayner on Channel 9. And he showed cartoons and very, very entertaining. But I think my favorite was one called Two-Ton Baker. And he was a rather large man, very, very funny. He was dressed as a pirate, of all things, and he was a piano player. He would lead us in song and games and everything, but he was great. I remember him very well. Following Two-Ton Baker was a program called The Pied Piper, which started at 12:30. And one thing I always remember, there was a bubbler, a water fountain that was always running, and every time he tried to take a drink, of course, it would stop. And then we all remember Paul Winchell with Jerry Mahoney and Knucklehead, you know, the puppets.
Knucklehead Smith.
Knucklehead Smith, that's right.
Smith with an F.
Smith. On Saturday morning,
You know what Paul Winchell did later on? He invented the artificial heart.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was Paul Winchell did that. Yeah, he was
quite a versatile man.
Yeah, he went from Jerry Mahoney to inventing hearts. He invented the Jarvik 7 heart.
Oh, no kidding.
He was also the voice of Tigger. Did you know that?
Oh, no, Paul Winchell. On the Winnie the Pooh thing.
Yes, that's right.
Very versatile.
Yeah.
Well, we were all members of a very, very great club, though. After school, we rushed home, 4 to 5 o'clock, the Mickey Mouse Club.
Mm-hmm.
The Mouseketeers, on all, there were 39 of them, according to my research. But Jimmy Dodd was the host, and then we would have roll call. And each Mouseketeer would come forward from that day. We had a T-shirt or a turtleneck with their name on it, so we got to know them very, very quickly. We had to sing goodbye when we did get to that point, and that was its own song. Now it's time to say goodbye.
But to all our family, M-I-C-K-Y-M-O-U-S-E. You know who was a Mouseketeer later on? Britney Spears.
Really?
And Justin Timberlake.
Really?
And Ryan, I can't think of the actor's name. They were all in the Mouseketeer Club in the later on series.
Yeah.
But Britney Spears was a Mouseketeer.
In our area, she was not bored.
That's right. Yeah.
But Pat Nielsen, again, was reminding me, we all knew it, Annette. She was perfect. She was perfection.
And she went on to make all those beach movies.
Beach movies.
Yes, she stayed perfection for a long time.
Yeah.
The youngest ones were Cubby and Karen.
Cubby O'Brien was a drummer later on with rock bands. He went on to that. I don't think Karen went on to anything else, but Cubby O'Brien became a big rock and roll drummer.
Karen stayed a former Mouseketeer then.
Yeah.
But Pat, she waited to get a turtleneck with her name on it. That never happened. But Pat did get cleats put on her shoes so she could dance along with the Mouseketeers. What I loved were the cereals, Spin and Marty, and also the Hardy Boys and the Tower Treasure, done so well. Introduced me to the Hardy Boys books right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, continuing with Disney, we had Walt Disney, the program on Wednesday nights when it began. It was Wednesday night. Now, I found out, not talking to any professional, but looking at the internet, that Walt Disney was ready to launch Disneyland. And he had been on radio, but he wanted a TV show to promote everyone eventually going to Disneyland. So this show had 4 segments, just like the park was going to have. And we remember Adventureland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, and Frontierland.
Well, here's some of the famous Mouseketeers. I got the list. Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, singer, Britney Spears, Carrie Russell, the actress, Ryan Gosling, Don Grady. Remember him from My Three Sons. Lisa Wetchel from The Facts of Life was a Mouseketeer. There's a whole list here. Bobby Burgess, who went on to the Lawrence Welk show.
Yeah, he was a dancer.
He was on the original one of the first Mouseketeers, Bobby Burgess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Johnny Crawford from The Rifleman.
Yep.
I mean, there was a list of people. Dennis Day from one of the people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot of people. Mickey Rooney Jr., a lot of famous people went on.
Well, in other words, these Mouseketeers had a lot of talent, young talent, proven later on in life, too, but they were picked well. Now, I know that in 1955, with Frontierland about Disneyland, we were introduced to Davy Crockett.
King of the Wild Frontier.
King of the Wild Frontier.
Vess Parker.
And the millions of dollars in clothing that was purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Every boy in my third grade class, I think, had a coonskin cap.
I have one.
I think they could wear them to school, too. Fringe.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But watching it at my neighbor's house, it was a terrible night when they did portray Davy Crockett dying at the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my childhood.
Well, they couldn't change history.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, they didn't cut it off before his death. They included it.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, guys. We're going to take a quick break. Carol Gianforte, Jim Messier is here. We're talking about TV shows in the 50s and 60s. If you grew up really anywhere in America, but if you grew up in Racine, this is what you saw. So more with Jim and Carol coming up in a moment at WRJN Local News and Timeless Hits.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver. The Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver! Always!
Hey kids, what time is it?
Never bring him back. I don't think Howdy Doody's coming back. Jim Messier and Carol Gianforte are here talking about TV from the 50s and 60s. We're not going to leave black and white TV today to go to color. That's on another date.
Color is coming.
Yeah, so let's go.
Well, about Walt Disney, that Wednesday night program, it's amazing what we do remember. Cindy Marigos remembers even the yellow popcorn bowl that her mother popped popcorn for she and her brother as they watched it from the floor. Amazing.
Of course, our program wouldn't be complete until we talk about the Westerns. This was a guy's thing. Every boy in town would always have his favorite Westerns, and you had your choice. We had Wild Bill Hickok with Jingles, of course, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, the Lone Ranger with Tonto, Gene Autry with his sidekick, Pat Buttram. And, of course, there were so many more. I'll just read them real fast. Death Valley Days, Have Gun Will Travel, Wagon Train, Gunsmoke, one of our all-time favorites, Rin Tin Tin. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Broken Arrow, Hop Along Cassidy, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, and, of course, Wyatt Earp.
No, you're leaving my favorite one out. I still watch it.
What's that?
On TV, and I have all the DVDs of the series, The Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp.
Ah, okay, oh. Wyatt Earp, okay.
Good thing we have you to help
Hugh
us out
O'Brien
here,
Dad. Is Wyatt Earp.
Hugh O'Brien, and there was even one for the girls, right,
yes.
Carol?
Annie Oakley, she was a sharpshooter in a town, not on any map, but Diablo, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Horse target, little brother tag, she took care of all the outlaws.
Mm-hmm. Now, for a highly educational program, we had, of course, the Three Stooges. Now, I used to watch it out of a Milwaukee channel. It was the Pops Theater, and Pops was dressed as an old usher in an old theater. And he had, as his guests in the audience, Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. I remember being there with the Racine Scout Drum and Bugle Corps once. It was really a nice experience. He was famous for his Roll'em Lester when he started cartoons or the Three Stooges. Some guy named Lester, I guess, was responsible for, doing that. So that was a famous saying for many, many years. That's right. But we used to rush home from school just to watch the Three Stooges. We didn't stop for anything. We just had to rush home just to watch our Three Stooges.
Nothing like somebody getting conked on the head or getting their eyes poked out, right?
Yeah, right.
Where did all this violence come from?
Yeah.
Well, that already brings us to closing our program today, really. But next time, we are going to continue with the TV shows. We had one TV. We had those TV tables. We had those TV dinners, perhaps. And we had our family all around one TV in the evening. And that meant we pretty much watched our parents' shows. But there were tons of them. Dragnet, Leave It to Beaver, Honeymooners, Milton Berle, so many. So, this is what we're going to do next, Don.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Leave It to Beaver. When I went on the Universal tour, we went to the Leave It to Beaver house.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an homage to that in the movie The Burbs with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
They do they zoom in on the Universal logo, the Earth, and they keep going and going. And the street sign, when they finally get to the street, says Mayfield Place, because they filmed The Burbs on the street where the Leave It to Beaver house was.
Oh, no kidding.
And it says Mayfield Place on the
it all
sign.
Came together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And looking forward to December, we're going to ask you to come shopping with us. We're going to take a walk down 6th Street and visit stores like Moore Jones for toys, Ruth Carnes, George and Lester's, Mr. Junior, and so many more. So start your Christmas shopping with us in another couple months.
And we got that scary story about 6th Street we can review again. The haunted building on 6th Street.
Yes, yeah. The Blake Opera House.
Bring all your programs together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like talking about that stuff because when I walk 6th Street at night, I get scared.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Real fast here, Carol has a fast story, too. When my wife got her first color TV as a kid, she told everybody in the neighborhood that we're going to get a color TV, the first kid on the block. So when the delivery truck came, every kid in the neighborhood was there watching it being unloaded. And then when they turned it on, all the kids, all you could see in the front window was just hands and noses watching something new, a color TV like you were talking about, Don. It's really something.
Well, and then about mine goes back, my personal story goes back to watching TV, watching Disneyland. My parents, we didn't have a TV yet, so it was really major when we finally got one. So,
in your book, you mentioned how you get it. Your father drove halfway across the state to get it.
To a trusted boyhood friend to tell us what to do about buying a TV.
1,000 miles away, he drove, something like that.
He even came from Jefferson, Wisconsin to check out what our needs were. But anyway, I would walk 2 houses down to Jackie Olson's, my friend. She lived upstairs of her grandma. And I was thrilled to go to watch Disneyland, so I never could tell my parents how scary it got. Cold, dark. I'd go to her back door. I'd have to walk up this creepy, creaky stairway above her grandma. But suddenly, the door would be open. The 3 Olsen kids would be on the floor. I would join them. And there was Tinkerbell, just like Cindy Marigos had said, Tinkerbell floating across the screen, Walt Disney welcoming us, all was good.
Wow. You know, my brother could probably relate to more of the 50s shows than I can, but even the Leave It to Beaver shows, I got to meet Tony Dow once.
No kidding.
The strangest story. I worked at a radio station on Long Island. There was a bar across the street. Tony Dow was doing a soap opera in New York City at the time. Mm-hmm. He was a guest star, so he was in the bar. And the bartender, who I don't drink, but I was there, you know, across the street. And he said, I want you to meet somebody. Tony Dow?
Yeah.
This is Don Rosen from the radio station across the street. And I got to meet Tony Dow, and I said, it's really Wally Cleaver right in front of me here. And he was just there visiting a friend.
Yeah.
And I said, whoa. And then I got to correspond with Jerry Mathers on Facebook once.
Oh.
And I said, wow, the Beef.
Yeah.
You meet these people from your childhood.
Oh.
And I said, wow.
You've had a very fortunate life, Don.
Why? Because I met Tony Dow and talked to the Beef?
Extremely fortunate.
Yeah. Remember Eddie?
Eddie Haskell.
Eddie Haskell.
People still talk about him.
Yeah.
They still compare people to Eddie Haskell. If you're a con artist. Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, you look very nice. You're very nice. You keep a very nice house.
Yeah.
Hey, Wally, how come your mother's making a stew? or he'll say something about, we want Bieber to be with us on our trip to the amusement park because we think the older boys should take care of the younger boys and teach them the ways. And she leaves the room. Hey, we have to take this squirt with us.
He became a police officer.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He had a great career. And he never did any other television except the new Leave It to Beaver and Still the Beaver.
Yeah.
But that was his career.
Yeah, he was typecast.
Jim Messier, Carol Jean Forte will be back again in November and December.